Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Yes, your 950 KJR Sports Headlines.
All right, boys and girls, live from Ann Arbor, Michigan. Dogs and Wolverines tomorrow. Kickoff at 5 o'clock right here on 950 KJR. Headlines, of course, are brought to you by our friends at Buddy's Goodies and Glass. It's always 420 at Buddy's, baby.
Lighten up, Francis.
All right, here we got the Mariners back in action tonight against the Arizona Diamondbacks. Marco
Gonzalez.
Thank you. On the mound for the M's. The Mariners are two games out in the wild card behind the Yankees. Yankees are at the Mets tonight. Toronto, who's a half game out, they're in Baltimore. Boston's at the White Sox, and the A's are home against the Rangers. So a busy day of scoreboard watching baseball for your Friday night pleasure.
Bucks held on for a 31-29 win last night over the Cowboys on a last-second field goal. Bucks corner Sean Murphy bunting will miss some time with a dislocated elbow.
Yeah, that sounds disgusting. Yeah. Ravens, by the way, confirming two torn ACLs, one for running back Gus Edwards, and the other, of course, for former Husky corner Marcus Peters.
And Storm Star 4 Brianna Stewart will reportedly miss the last two regular season games with a foot injury suffered in last game against Washington. She'll be reevaluated to determine her status for the playoffs.
NCAA, we got a game tonight. Kansas at number 17, Coastal Carolina. UTEP is at Boise. And don't forget, we got a pregame show from the Big House, 1 o'clock tomorrow from Michigan Stadium. Kickoff 5 o'clock right here on 950 KJR. So a cavalcade of stars coming by the radio show. First it was me. Okay, of course, thank you very much. Then it was Dick Fain. Then it was Cam Cleland. And now it's this guy. Let's hear it for one of the great running backs in Husky football history. Our friend Greg Lewis is with us here from the team hotel in Ann Arbor. How are you, pal?
I'm doing fantastic. Yeah, I feel really good. I'm ready for tomorrow. I've stretched out. I gargled with some salt water. I got my voice ready for the pregame.
Absolutely.
And the postgame show tomorrow.
Well, make sure Baird gets the same message because we need him as well tomorrow. I mean, honestly, what type of postgame show do you think we're going to have tomorrow after this game?
I think the Huskies are going to improve. They're going to play a lot better than they played last game. Does that translate into a win in this environment against this team? I'm hopeful. I don't know. But I think we'll see who we are tomorrow. We'll find out what this team is made of because Michigan isn't going to come out and run a bunch of games and all twists and all that kind of stuff on the defensive side of the ball. They're going to line up in front of you, and they're going to say, here we are. Can you beat us? Can we move them off the ball? Offensively, they're going to run downhill. You know, they're missing their top receiver, so they'll be probably run heavy. So we'll find out, is this a tough football team? And if it is, and maybe they come up a little short, they play better, I think that shows some optimism, and then we'll have something positive to talk about.
Are the chances of a Husky win better, worse, or the same after what happened last weekend?
Well, that depends. And what I mean is they are who they are. I think the fact that they're going to come in here probably pissed off, vim, vinegar, you know, like I explained the other day, if you whoop me in a fight, you're going to have to fight me every day.
Yeah.
I'm coming back the next time harder, stronger. I'm going to work out. I'm going to go do some push-ups in my basement, and I'm coming back, and I'm throwing haymakers to try to win that fight. So I think if they're a better team than Michigan and better team than they showed last week, this does put them in a better position to have the victory because they're going to be pissed off.
What about this offensive line? We thought it was a strength, and that's why what happened last Saturday was so stunning. Yeah. Talk about kind of that group coming out of last week.
From a personnel and talent standpoint, this is still a strength of our team. I think these guys are talented football players. They're experienced football players. They're football players who have had success. They're guys on the offensive line who are NFL players. So it should be a strength. Now, they have to go out and execute on game day. Yeah. Were they prepared well enough? Were they surprised by what happened last week? Were they not given the opportunity to run downhill? We talked about they ran 27 times in a game that was less than 7 points. So can they be that dominant force? They can be from the talent standpoint. They got to execute. They got to come in with the right game plan. And they got to make the decision that they're going to whoop the guy's tail. That's what football is. If I whoop the guy across from his tail more time than he whoops mine, and the guys around me do the same thing, we're probably going to win the football game.
Greg, we spent all in spring and fall talking about five running backs. Well, we basically only saw one running back last week. So, what's the ideal number of running backs you want to see get meaningful carries in this game?
Well, I thought we saw Davis along with Newton
four
last
times.
Week.
He had four carries. Newton had 17.
He had a couple receptions, and you know he had to step up and pass protect. I think the running backs did a good job. I don't think those guys were given the opportunity to perhaps have huge games because we didn't run the ball that much. But they showed up in the passing game. They showed up in the pass protection game. I like those two guys. I think as a football program, you have to establish some sort of identity. What are you offensively? We're a running team. We're a passing team. You know, who are we? And you also have to have that same thing in your player personnel. And those are the two guys that I would go with based on what, you know, their size, their speed, their strength, their ability. Richard Newton is a touchdown scorer. This guy gets in the end zone. And I think Davis has that ability to be an NFL running back. So I like those two guys.
Yeah.
Maybe you do have a little package for a McGrew, get him in space a couple times here and there. But I would only expect you to see two, at the most three running backs for a team.
Dylan did not have a good game last week. Mm-hmm. Did Dylan Morris not have a good game because of Dylan Morris or because of the amount of times he was getting popped?
Well, he was getting popped. He had wide receivers that were playing in different positions than they're used to playing. I think Cam did a good job explaining that last week. When you got a guy who's normally in the slot, and now you got to move him out wide. You got the tight end. You got to move him into the slot. Those guys didn't get a lot of reps during the week in those particular positions. So maybe they didn't recognize coverages as well. They didn't run the routes as precise. So I think there were a lot of factors. You didn't have your top four receivers. Your offensive line didn't play as well. But he does have to make some throws better. There were times where I saw some crossing routes. The linebackers dropped into their drops. The safeties are a little deep. There's a window in there.
Yeah.
He's got to be able to hit those windows in order for this offense to stay on the field. 4 for 14 on third downs. You cannot go 4 for 14 on third downs and have any kind of success offensively. He's got to stand in the pocket. He's got to deliver the football. I think, you know, we may have Terrell Bynum back tomorrow. I'm not sure.
Wow.
But we may. There's a possibility. So those are, you know, some hopeful things that could improve his play. But bottom line is, if we protect well, he stands in the pocket, delivers the ball, we could have some success.
Paint me a picture, G. Lou, about how Dylan Morris moves the ball through the air if they don't have Terrell Bynum, if they just have the receivers that they had last week.
Yeah, good question.
Well, hopefully the guys that are in that are going to play have gotten the first team reps. They've gotten the practice time to run those routes. He's gotten some confidence in those guys making the play. You always have that outlet and the tight end, one of the best tight ends in the country, in Otten. You don't necessarily, in my opinion, have to make a bunch of down the field plays in this game to win. I think Michigan offensively without Bell, you know, their skill players are okay. You know, they're good up front. Our defense line is going to have to do a good job. But I think the game is going to be in a position for us to win, you know, if we score in the 20s. Yep. So what he's got to do is keep the chains moving. He's got to complete the third down throw. He's got to be successful there. And hopefully, and this is another thing I appreciated what Cam Cleveland said on Monday, is first down, you got to win first down. You can't get behind the chains. Can't be in second and 12, second and 13. You got to be in second and 6, second and 5.
Yeah.
And then on third down, you have a chance to make the play. So if as a team we can stay out ahead of the chains, be in that third medium to short, then we can work in those slants, those hitches, those tight end seam routes, which right now are the things that we're probably able to do the best at. And you know, I'd love to see a screen play here or there where the running back's getting out on the perimeter. He's got some of those big guys in front of him and pick up those yards. If we can consistently, you know, at 60% on third downs and score in the 20s, we can win this game.
Yeah. Greg Lewis for offensive coordinator. Who's with me?
There you go.
Who's with me? Who's with me? All right. Hey, listen, I know you're going to go out and have some fun tonight in Ann Arbor.
Not too much.
I hope that tonight.
I'm going to Detroit, by the way.
Well, you have a lot of fun there. The best part will be when you leave, by the way. I hope you don't have...
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
the most fun this weekend tonight. I hope that tomorrow is the fun, because this is this program needs this after what happened last week, man.
Let me just say this. This is what you come to the University of Washington for, to play in big-time games in a place like the Big House against an opponent like Michigan. This is why you sign with the University of Washington. So every kid that's occupying a hotel room tonight has got to have that attitude.
Yep.
I'm going out there tomorrow to kick some butt. Go Dawgs.
All right. I love it. Greg Lewis with us on the air. Good stuff, man. We'll see you tomorrow, okay?
Thanks, man.
Pre-game for us starts at 1 o'clock. Greg will be with us. Dick Barrett as well from the Big House. Have a little fun with audio right now on 950 KJR.
It's now time for Softy and Dick's Fun with Audio.
Jimmy G, porn star Jimmy, Mr. Garoppolo.
Presented by Body Armor. More than a sports drink, with potassium-packed electrolytes, antioxidants, and no artificial sweeteners, flavors, or dyes. Now, let's have some fun with audio.
All right. Dick, you know what's funny about that last segment, pal?
What's that?
The minute Greg Lewis got up and walked away, everybody here left. They all took off.
Well, we know who they were here to see then.
Exactly. There's nobody here. They all walked out of here. All right. A little fun with audio. We start, by the way, with a guy who I really think at this point should be getting some consideration for Manager of the Year. After the M's beat the Astros on Wednesday, manager Scott Servais opened his post-game press conference by referencing his favorite coach.
I want to open this one today with, per everybody's favorite coach, especially Divish's, we have a lot of goldfish. Guys with very short memories. So for all you Ted Lasso fans out there, that's what came into my mind today. Certainly when we got after it in the first inning, you never would have known we were in a tough game last night and weren't able to get it done.
You know you've hit the big time when Scott Servais is referencing you, pal. I mean, if you're Jason Sudeikis, you're walking around thinking, all this attention I'm getting is great. It's awesome. But, man, Scott Servais mentioned my character in his post-game presser. Damn, have I arrived. I'm being half sarcastic, by the way.
I think the delivery could have been better. I think he should have just left it at, we've got a lot of goldfish on this team, and not even mentioned Ted Lasso. And then the people that get it, get it. And the people that don't. Just leave it in the ether, Scott.
Well, he's trying to, you know, he's inclusive. He wants people that don't watch Ted Lasso to know what the hell he's talking about.
Well, what are you doing if you're not watching
Confuses audience.
Ted Lasso.
Exactly. All right, Dick. Did you happen to hear that?
What's that, Dave?
What's that, Dick?
Let's get to number four. Tuesday's Undisputed on FS1. Our old friend Skip Bayless whining for 5 minutes about the Cowboys having to play the defending champion Buccaneers in the season opening game last night. Here's a taste of Skip's agony. Roll.
Obviously, my team did not deserve to get thrown to the wolves on opening solo stage night at GOAT, at defending champs, at Tampa Bay. It's unfair to throw them into this fire on opening night because they did nothing to earn the right to play on opening night. So it's completely unfair to my team to just hang an opening L on them. So the more I think about this, the worse it gets. It's just eating me. It's sticking in my craw because I'm saying, how did we deserve to get embarrassed like this?
I think that there's a part of him that actually I agree with, that game should be about two of the premier teams in the NFL.
Yes.
But he's basing the schedule on what happened a year ago. I think the way Dak Prescott played last night, I think Dallas is going to be a really good team. I thought the story, Dick, of last night's game was even more than Tom Brady, was the way Dak Prescott played coming off the injury. I thought he looked almost at his best. I've never seen Dak Prescott look that good before. So I know Skip's point that, like, for example, in 2014, when the Hawks opened up, they played Green Bay, right? Two premier programs playing. Dallas wasn't a factor a year ago. Why are they in that game? This should be one of those things where, hey, the trophy for sucking is that you don't have to play the Buccaneers in the first game of the year, except I don't think the Cowboys are going to suck this year.
I don't think they're going to suck. I think they could win their division. I didn't pick them to win their division,
but I agree
think
with that.
They could win their division. I do not see them going any further than that because there's other things than just throwing the ball around. I'm not sure Zeke Elliott is 70% of Zeke Elliott three years ago.
Yeah.
And I don't think their defense is going to be a top 15 defense in the league. So if you don't have a running game and you don't have a defense, 9-8's as good as you're getting, man.
Well, here's why last night's game was the great was a great matchup, because number one, it was a great game.
Yeah.
And number two, what was the ratings thing that you had earlier?
15-9. which is monster. I mean, that's college football national championship. That's that's twice the NBA finals.
It worked. It worked. So
it was a tremendously entertaining
put
game.
NBC put the right teams on TV last night in the opener, despite what that clown says. All right, Dick, did you happen to hear that?
What's that, Dick?
What's that, Dick?
On last night's NBC broadcast of the game, Subway Sandwiches released a new commercial featuring Tom Brady, who doesn't eat bread. I have no idea what this is, but let's hear it anyway.
Seductive. Irresistible. Yet forbidden. Bready.
The new fragrance that says Subway has so much new, it didn't fit in their last ad. So they bought time and mind to talk about hearty multigrain bread.
Freshly baked.
Smells so good, I can almost taste it.
But you don't eat bread.
That's funny.
That's pretty funny.
I like that.
That's pretty clever.
Right?
Nobody would have gotten it except for the last line.
Yeah, they're making fun of a guy who doesn't eat bread, and I think bread's awesome. I love bread. Oh. You know, my favorite bread ever, by the way, is the warm rolls they serve at the Keg. I love that stuff. I could eat that crap all day long. I don't think you have to be a fan of something to endorse something. Tom Brady is basically saying, hey, I don't eat bread, but if you do, try Subway. I mean, for example, do you have erectile dysfunction?
Sure.
You do?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well, my point was going to be you don't.
You've heard the spots,
you're
right?
You're doing ED spots anyway, right? I mean, I'm not bald, but I was doing freaking commercials for a hair transplant company like
That's
10
true.
Years ago.
That's true.
What the hell, man? I love it.
How many breadsticks did you eat at Olive Garden in the 90s?
Oh, man. Oh. Well, apparently too many. I had to go see 3010 about six years ago.
A million breadsticks.
I would put the bread at the Keg up against the breadsticks at the Olive Garden any day of the week.
Really?
Any day of the week. And the chowder bowls at Duke's, by the way.
Oh, man.
I don't know where. The sourdough chowder bowls. Oh, my God. My mouth is watering. All right. Dick, did you happen to hear that?
What's that, Dave?
What's that, Dick?
Let's see. I have not heard this yet. On Wednesday, former Husky head coach and the new Fox College football analyst, Chris Peterson. How many people thought you'd be uttering those words? Fox College football analyst Chris Peterson sat down with Colin Cowherd on FS1 to discuss why it's harder now for new college head coaches to build up a program like Jimmy Lake is trying to do. Go ahead.
How many years did it take you before you looked at your staff and thought, we can really go toe-to-toe with almost anybody?
It's going to take about 18 to 24 months to transform a program into the culture you want, depending on how different it is.
Well, it took Nick that, by the way. He lost to Louisiana Monroe first year at Alabama.
We had to win my second year at Washington. We had to win our last three games to even get to a bowl game. So we get to it. We win this bowl game. And the next year we go to the college football playoffs. And the whole time you're like, are we going to ever figure this out? The second year felt better than the first year. We had a bunch of young players and you see the buy-in. Are they in? Are they practicing hard after a hard loss? They come back on Monday and Tuesday and they got a chip on their shoulder and they're ready to roll. And that's the one thing we did feel about our crew the second year. So it really can take 2 to 3 years. And you're right. Nobody has patience. I used to say that money's just like changed it and ruined everything. Money always ruins everything almost all the time. This doesn't feel like what college football should be all about when you can't really build something because when you pay somebody so much money, they expect results quickly.
This is why we have to relax. Don James was run out of town by some Husky fans after a couple of years. And fortunately, they didn't fire Don James. Chris Peterson, like he said, was 3 games under .500, 3-6 in 2015, his second year, after going 8-6 his first year, meaning that he was under .500 through his first 25 games as a Husky coach. And a lot of people said, get him out of here. And then he took you to 3 BCS bowls. So let's just chill after 5 games of the Jimmy Lake era, okay?
Well, I don't think it's, but it's not Jimmy Lake that people are talking about. They're talking about his staff. I mean, I haven't heard a lot of criticism of Jimmy. I've heard criticism of the offensive coordinator. I mean, Jimmy Lake has a big contract. Jimmy Lake's not going to get fired after 5 games. That's ridiculous. But I also think there's an evolution for a young head coach when he builds a coaching staff. He has to figure out what works, what doesn't work, what he likes, what he doesn't like. And I think the idea of a guy, I mean, Chris Peterson, for example, right? He had different coordinators, offensive coordinators, defensive coordinators, his entire run when he was at UW. To think that Jimmy Lake is going to take this job and hire 2 coordinators and those guys will be with him in that same role for 5, 6, 7 years, that doesn't happen very often. So he's going to have to find out, you know, what works, what doesn't work, what personality personalities he wants to be along, you know, around. So I think that's where the criticism for the most part is coming from. If this thing just completely falls apart, and we're talking about a 2-9 football team right. after 11 games, and maybe you do hear stuff like that. But right now, at least the criticism I've heard has been more directed to the guys calling the plays on offense. All right, we're going to break 4:20. We're going to hear from the Seahawks head coach Pete Carroll, Hawks and Colts on Sunday. What does Petey make of it next on 950 KJ?
Now back to Football Friday, powered by Bud Light on your home for the Huskies and the 12th man, Seattle Sports Radio 950, KJR.
Dick, if you're on a live remote like we are, and welcome back to Ann Arbor, Michigan, by the way, kickoff 5 o'clock tomorrow, pregame 1 o'clock. If you were doing the show with me and a random stranger brought you a half-eaten BLT sandwich that clearly had not been altered with, he just didn't eat half the sandwich. He, you know, it was a big sandwich, okay. And he ate half and couldn't finish it, so he brought it over to you and said, hey, I know you're hungry, so here's half my sandwich. Would you accept and eat that sandwich from a total stranger?
Was the sandwich wrapped or just laying on a plate?
It was laying on a plate.
No.
You would not eat it?
No.
Okay.
Particularly in the era of COVID, I would not.
Okay.
Eat it.
Well, this might be it for me. Yes, I was that hungry to eat an unwrapped sandwich from a total stranger here at the Team Hotel in Ann Arbor. So you could have my baseball card collection and tell my wife I love her. Okay,
we'll do.
Right. Pete Carroll getting ready for the Hawks and Colts on Sunday, 10 o'clock. The head coach of the Hawks meeting with the media after today's walkthrough. Started off with a question from everybody's favorite Seahawks beat writer, Bob Condotta.
The way you did the preseason with nobody playing in the preseason and everything, do you think that kind of played into this a little bit, having you guys totally healthy right now?
I think it contributed, yeah. Yeah, you know. I mean, you can't really say, you know. Bobby, we don't know, but it did help us out. Today I looked at the numbers and compared to other years, you know, and how we'd been, how many guys were on IR and all that kind of stuff. And last year with no games, how did that contribute to it, you know? So it's not a real definite definitive science right now, but we're getting a feel for it, and we felt like it worked out well. Yeah,
Pete, I assume coming through training camp you feel like you have a pretty good handle on what your team's going to be here, but what's something you still want to find out?
I don't know nothing. So all this time you'd think I'd know something, but I don't know nothing. What do I want to find out? You know, I want to find out if it all fits together. You know, if we can play complementary ball and be balanced on offense, and stay away from the bad plays that happen on defense, and stay out of the problem areas, penalty situations. You know, we had a fantastic season last year in penalties on special teams, which really led kind of the. We had a pretty good year for penalties for our club, and those kinds of things. You know, I'd like to see if we can control the things that are within our control. You know, and that the primary. Thing is the football. You know, can we do a great job of taking care of it? That's what I want to see if we're on it again. It's always been such a huge emphasis for us, and so, you know, but you don't know until you get going again. And we've been pitching and selling and practicing and all that, you know, but we got to see how that thing bounces out there.
There was a lot of movement with the cornerback group, guys coming in and off. I kind of wanted to know your overall thoughts on that group going into this game.
Yeah, it's been a competitive situation, and it started out that way. The offseason was, in our mind, it was competitive. We're gonna see how it's gonna turn out, and it remains that way. It hasn't settled past the first two guys. Trey played terrific all camp, and had a great camp, and did everything we needed to see. It was not as clear cut for DJ. He didn't get as much play time, but he has looked great on the practice field and has done everything that we've expected him to do. From there, the next place you look at is the nickel spot, and Ugo and Marquise they're still in competition. They both did everything we would hope that they could do, and they haven't declared who's on top of that yet. So we're just let the comp continue. But other than that, you know, we have it's open competition, and we'll see how it goes and see how these guys do, and they've been really upbeat and on it and sharp in practice and all. But it's going to take a little while to sort that thing out.
The new cornerbacks you brought in, Bless Austin and John Reed and Sydney. How have they done picking up the system, and do you anticipate that they could contribute on Sunday if needed?
There has not been enough time to really call it with Bless and with Sydney. But John Reed has done a really good job. I mean, he's had a couple weeks, you know, so we got to wait a bit. I mean, it looks smooth as can be when they're on the practice field. They look very comfortable. Our guys have done a great job of helping them translate what we're asking from what they've done. And we don't take guys and try to make them something they're not. You know, we try to figure out how they can fit in to our stuff with the style that they bring, and then build from there. And so we're not making it uncomfortable for those guys to try to transition. So, and then we'll tweak and stuff as we go. Bless has looked good, and Sydney's been all over the ball. He's made a lot of plays in practice already in a short time, so that's a really good sign. And John Reed's the kind of guy that you just automatically know that he knows what's going on. He's just a really, really smart football player. Wherever he's deployed, he fits in really well. So he made that transition really obvious and easy for us to see him.
So I love Curtis's question, and give Pete credit for not totally undressing Curtis right there, right, and actually giving him an answer. I don't know. What the hell do you want from me, son?
I don't know, sir.
Right, exactly. So I want to see us play complimentary football and see if it all meshes together and another cliche I can come up with on the fly. But the turnover stuff, he's dead on because that's him, right? Pete Carroll is always all about the ball. Like Jimmy Lake cannot sit there and preach, we're going to pound the ball down your throat. We have a phenomenal offensive line, and then throw it 48 times in the opener against Montana and not use your running backs. Pete Carroll cannot sit there and say it's all about the ball, and then be mediocre when it comes to takeaways. They were third. I had totally forgotten that. They were third in 2019. They were 15th last year. That's got to change.
And turnovers were the most important indicator last year in the NFL to success. This is ridiculous. This is straight from the Stats Are for Losers column here.
I like it.
Listen to this.
You got my drop ready here?
Sure. All right. Of the top 12 teams in turnover ratio last year, as you mentioned, the Seahawks were one of them.
Okay, hang on.
Stats Are for Losers.
All right.
All 12 finished with double-digit wins, and 11 of them made the playoffs.
Stats Are for Losers.
I mean, it's as simple as that, man.
Yeah.
Just do that, and you're a 10-win team.
Right. Get the damn ball. Absolutely. So who's going to get the ball? Who's going to pick off passes in the secondary?
Quandre.
Jamal Adams doesn't pick off passes.
Quandre Diggs.
Is Sidney Jones going to pick off passes? Is DJ Reed going to pick off passes? Is Trey Flowers going to pick off passes? I mean, yeah, Diggs will have a few for sure at the safety spot, but don't we need corners that can get the ball?
Yes.
Do they have them?
Not really. Unless, I mean, I really think, though, I think the turnovers are going to come from the pressure.
Right.
I think the turnovers are going to come from sack strips, hitting running backs in the backfield, poking it free, that type of thing. I think they're going to get a lot more fumbles than they're going to get intercepted.
Well, I think you're right. There's chances that that's going to happen, and depending on what kind of heat they bring, how much heat they bring, I just don't know if this defense can be at their best with Jamal Adams blitzing 100 times a year. So that's going to have to come from Hyder, Dunlap, the guys in the interior have to step up, Puna Ford, Brian Monet. Let's see if those guys can start now getting after the quarterback. But I think until I see it, I'm almost kind of just glossing over that cornerback position. It's a problem right now. It's an issue. And I agree with what Mike Holmgren said yesterday, that here we are like a week before the first game of the year and they're tinkering with the corners, right? Just, well, that's not going to work. Let's try this. That's not going to work. At some point the season's going to be here and you'll have to play with the guys you got, which is what you're dealing with right now for the game on Sunday with the Colts. So I'm just really curious. I'm concerned, yes. I'm not panicked, of course, because any team that's got Russell Wilson shouldn't panic about anything. But I'm very, very curious to see, is this cornerback group going to be a real problem, Dick, for this football team as the year goes by?
Well, like Holmgren mentioned yesterday, they do have a pretty soft landing spot. I'm not a Carson Wentz hater. I'm actually probably more optimistic on Wentz than the general public is, and yet I still even realize the dude's not a top 10 quarterback. He's not a top 12 quarterback. You have to tilt your head and really stretch to call him a top half quarterback in the NFL. This is a perfect opportunity for the Seattle corners not to get torched tomorrow, because Carson Wentz is what? Probably one of the bottom five or six quarterbacks you're going to see all season long.
Could be, absolutely. And there's a big, tough test in week two against the Titans, man. There's no question about that. So if this is going to be about the pass rush, then let's see it. Let's see it starting on Sunday against the Colts. All right, we got a break. 49451. The Coors Light text line is open for testimonials. What is your gut feel for this game tomorrow? UW Michigan. How much does that cornerback group of the Seahawks kind of keep you up at night right now? Anything on your brain is fair game, unless it's not, and it violates FCC rules and we can't play it. 49451, the Coors Light text line. Testimonials, and then Hugh Millen's going to join the radio show. The last man, the only man, dude, the only Husky quarterback to ever go into the Big House and win a football game. How about that?
That's pretty cool.
He would join us at 5 o'clock tonight right here on 950 KJ.
Coming to you live from the Elliott Avenue studios of Sports Radio 950 KJR. This is Textimonials.
LOL, semicolon, parentheses.
Take it away, Dave Softy Mahler
and Dick Fain.
All right, hanging out till 7 o'clock tonight. I am in Ann Arbor. Dick is back in Seattle.
Dick Fain.
Getting ready for the game tomorrow. 5 o'clock kick in Seattle. What do you got planned for tomorrow? What's on the agenda for kickoff? Your couch, a bar, a restaurant. You got to punch yourself in the face and knock yourself out and watch it when the game's over.
It'll be my couch or my folks' couch. I'm not sure which one. Gotcha. Whoever has the better menu.
Yeah. It's always important, pal. It's always a huge factor. Who's going to feed me the best?
Exactly.
That's where I'll be. All right. Well, we got pregame 1 o'clock tomorrow. Kickoff 5 o'clock right here on 950 KJR Dogs in Michigan. Hugh Millen will join us at 5 o'clock tonight and talk some dogs, talk some hawks as well. But first of all, the segment nobody except for my mom has been waiting for. Testimonials 49451. Coors Light text line. Jackson, what do you got?
I have faith in the Huskies, 24-21. And please don't give any attention to that full Skip Bayless.
If the Huskies are going to win.
24-21.
If the Huskies are going to win, that's the type of score it's going to be.
I think even lower than that. I think a 17-13 type slugfest that you're just pooping yourself the entire fourth quarter because this thing could go either way. I think that's the kind of game we're going to see tomorrow because I don't see this Husky offense, especially if those receivers are out, doing a ton against the Michigan defense. And frankly, with Ronnie Bell out, and I don't know how good this Michigan offense even is with him playing, doing a ton against the defense. I think the best play out of all the plays on Factor Fiction, the under in this game is the best one of the week.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I appreciate
that. Don't get used to that.
Giles Jackson needs to be a huge, huge part of this game plan. Special teams, I want him returning every single kickoff. Hopefully there's not many kickoffs by Michigan.
Right.
I want him on fly sweeps. I want him on bubble screens. I want his hands on the ball because you know he wants to stick it to them at Michigan. And he is the most electric guy you have on that offense.
Why did you ask that question?
All right, what's next?
I bet the farm on Michigan minus 21.5.
Ooh.
That was vomitous last week.
minus 21.5? What kind of freaking money are you getting on that bad boy? Plus $28 million? Are you kidding me? I saw a guy that you were making a bet with on Twitter. You're getting 35 points tomorrow, is that right?
I'm getting the Huskies plus 35 on a wager with a Twitter guy.
What was the wager? A kick in the nuts? What the hell did you guys wager with each other?
If the Huskies lose by more than 35, I owe $100.
You're out of your mind.
I swear.
You're never going to hear from that guy ever again.
We'll see.
Made a bet with a random guy, with a rando on Twitter. If they cover, there is zero chance you hear from that guy. Zero chance you hear from that guy.
Depends on how much they cover by. Because he made the rules, and he gets a graduated scale.
Oh, my God.
You know, so, yeah, we'll see. But the Huskies aren't losing by 35 points. Pretty safe bet. It's all going to charity anyway.
Yeah, you are the kind of guy, though, that will say, you know what, fine, literal Lenny, put your money where your mouth is. If I said something like the Seahawks will win this game by 40 on Sunday, fine, then put your money where your mouth is. Well, I'm not literally saying that. I'm just saying if I'm this clown, that Michigan's going to blow Washington out.
Well,
but if he's given 35, then can I get in?
I don't know. You have to ask him. You reply to the tweet.
Okay, if he's given 35, I want in. And I want in for a lot more than $100. All right, what's next?
Unfortunately, mentally, you couldn't even handle Montana and getting behind there or getting punched in the mouth when you get bit by the Wolverines. I hope you guys don't run out of the stadium whining like a pack of puppies. Go Cougs.
It's enough to make you want to punch them right in the mouth.
Oh, man, you know things are really bad when the Cougar fans are talking smack.
Well, I
got beat by Utah State. Their coach is going to give the whole damn program COVID, and he's getting sued by an ex-player. Yet they still find a way to talk smack. God bless them.
Like we've said many, many times, the Cougars really have no grounds to talk any smack until they actually at least stay on the field with Washington.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, maybe not even beat Washington, but stay on the field with Washington for more than 15 minutes.
Some sanctimonious troll.
But you know who they are right now, honestly? You know who the Cougars are?
Who's that?
They are us during the streak to Oregon. When Oregon was kicking our ass every year for 12 years in a row.
And then when Oregon loses, we're
like
laughing
at them. And we would just find ways to talk smack when they would piss away a game. They'd lose to Wazoo or lose to whoever. And we'd laugh at them. And they would tell us the same thing you're saying now. You can't talk smack to us. Well, we've beaten you 50 years in a row. Shut up.
Yes and no, because when we were talking smack to them, we were a damn good team, and we were winning games. We weren't losing to Utah State and then going on testimonials 5 days later and talking smack.
We weren't a great team for all 12 of those years, I can tell you that. All right, what's next? Go ahead.
Do you have erectile dysfunction? Sure. Unfortunate misunderstanding of what Softy was trying to get at. Glad to have you two having fun.
That was a hot mess inside a dumpster fire, inside a train wreck.
Let me just, I mean, if you do have it, it's your own deal. Do you have erectile dysfunction?
I was trying to just play along with you.
Does anybody here have erectile dysfunction?
There's nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong. That's not the point. The point is you can vouch for somebody that you believe in even if you don't use the product. You believe in the folks that you did those commercial spots
for.
Correct. Even though you may not have erectile dysfunction yourself. That's the point I'm trying to make. And that is now the limit on how many times on one show I'm going to say erectile dysfunction. Enough. No more. We got time for one more, Jackson? One more. Go ahead.
If the half-eaten sandwich was from Zingerman's, I would eat it.
I don't know, man. I was pretty hungry, and that BLT looked really good.
Is there no food around there?
Aren't
you in a hotel?
There's food when people bring me food. I'm sitting in like a ballroom, man. There's a bar restaurant down the hall. You know why we can't do the show down the hall, by the way?
Why is that?
Because the Huskies don't want mouth breathers like me near the football team because I may give them the Rona before they play Michigan. So they want as many people away from the players as possible, which is fine by me.
That's fine.
That's the way
they
want
them healthy.
Totally cool with that. All right. 4:40 is the time. Hugh Millen, excuse me, what time is it? It's 4:55. Jesus. Hugh Millen's going to join us coming up on the radio show. Next and talk some dogs, Hawks, and Colts as well right here on Stop.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.